All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your kindnesses to humanity, Father, your long-suffering, Father. We just pray that you would help us, Father, to be like Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with the Spirit that controlled him, that you would give us the wisdom from above, Father, understanding, eyes to see and ears to hear. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Just really blessed with this song. What was it like to walk with you beside Blue Galilee? To hear precious words that ears never heard of life and immortality. What a blessing it must have been to actually walk with Jesus. We think, you know, everybody today looks back and thinks, well, everyone would love Jesus. But there was just a few that understood. There was just a few that had ears to hear. And there was just a few that actually saw what he did, heard these words, and heard them. There was a lot of people heard them, but there was a lot of people that were in the mob crying, crucify him at the same time. So when we reflect back on him, we all have the idea that, well, yeah, I would have heard him. I would have listened to him. But his voice is still speaking today. And as the latter part of this song says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. Actually hear his voice. We believe the Titus that talks about the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, is trying to talk to men today to bring him. The Bible says that the Spirit calls us to himself. It's trying to teach us, trying to show us how to live. I wrote down a note here. Jesus didn't come to make religion. He came to make men. He came to make men. He came to make women. He came to restore us to the place that we were created to be in the very first place. I want to open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Begin in verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. King James, it says, the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times will come. A little bit about the last days. I don't preach a lot of future prophecy or revelation and all kinds of things that we can speculate about and people argue about and divide about, saying that they know what it's going to be like. I don't know. But the Bible says there is a coming a time when there will be the last days. When Noah was on the earth preaching, a righteous man, a man that was trying to live like God, not a religious man, but a man that was trying to obey God and put into practice what he was hearing of that time. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He heard the Spirit of grace. And The Bible talks about Noah as a man of faith. When Noah heard God, he went out and got a hammer and a saw and began building the ark. That's what faith does. Faith moves us to respond to what God's call is on our life. Noah heard that call. Do you know how many people were saved at the time of Noah? There was 8 people. The whole world was destroyed and only 8 people got on that ark. Only 8. Perilous times. Dangerous times. And only 8 survived out of that. That's not very many. You know, we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. I ask people sometimes, why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did God destroy it? Most people say, well, because they were a bunch of homosexuals and they hated each other. Ezekiel says that it was pride, fullness of bread, arrogance, idleness of time. But God told Abraham about Noah, or about Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, God, if there's 50 people left in Sodom and Gomorrah, if there's 50 righteous people there, will you destroy it? And he said, no. He said, what if there's 5 lacking from that? What if there's 45 there? Would you? No. What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? And God said, I will not destroy it if there's 10 righteous people living there. Why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of their wickedness? No. Because there was no salt. There wasn't enough salt to preserve it. There wasn't enough righteous men to preserve it. That's why he destroyed it. When the world gets to the place where the righteous are so few, that's when God destroys the world. You and I, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its saltiness, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and just trodden under the foot of man on the earth, just like dirt. God has called the church, called you as an individual to be the light of the world, to be that piece of salt that preserves what's around you, that lifts up what is around you. That's what he's called us to do. He hadn't called you to be self-righteous, religious person. He's called you to be a godly person. I just am reminded so much, the psalm that was read this morning about the mercies of God and how kind he was, the verses that the boys gave, the goodness and kindness of God over and over again. And man complaining, belly aching, griping about it. And then God gives them mercy again. And the example was given, you know, whenever you go out of your way to help somebody, you just do everything. You change your appointments. You change your plans. You adjust your schedule and you go help somebody else. And then all they do is complain. Well, you're late. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? And God, over and over and over again, adjusts His schedule to help you. He adjusts His schedule to have mercy upon you, to do good for you. That's what He's called us to do, to be like Him. That's what Christianity is about. Not to for us to sit up on our throne and just wait to destroy somebody because they disagree with us. That's the problem with religion. That just separates and divides. It's not about men being men. It's about something that's foreign to God. It tears up and it destroys and divides. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Not to set himself up as the only one that was right. And he gave us the foundation. He gave us his teachings. He gave us his word of how he wants us to live. And if each one of us will take these words and live by them. Not religious. Talked to a man last night. We're on the same path. Same path. Saying the same words. But there's 180 degrees difference. One just staunch. That's not what God wants. God is trying to make us men to be like Him. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Difficult times will come. You know, we think of times and we wish that we could live in a different time sometimes. Simpler time. When there wasn't everything in this world to distract us the way it does. But that's not the time God chose for you to live on this earth. He put you here right now. He didn't put you here to live like they did in the 1400s. We live in this world right now. And we've got to be the salt in this world. It's easy to dream and wish or pretend that we were something where we're not. It's hard to live in reality. It's hard to live right now and accept the fact that God put me here right now and accept the fact that God put me in the situation that I'm in right now. He gave me the troubles that I have right now. You know what He wants me to do? Be thankful for right now and what I'm going through. It's hard sometimes when the world turns against you, when the life turns against you, when life turns against you, when churches turns against you, when people turn against you, when everything gets destroyed. You know all we have to do is praise the Lord. Just praise the Lord anyway. And that's hard for me. I'm just like you. I'm just like everybody else. It's easy to bellyache and complain about it. But God is good. God is good. And He's put us in this time, right now. He's put me at this age, in this body, right now. And the best thing I can do right now is just catch up with where I am and be thankful for it. We always want to live out there or back there. We want to live somewhere where we're not. Everybody else is in a better situation. I wish my situation was different. I wish I could live right now. Catch up with yourself right where you're at. And be happy about it. The only thing that you control in life is your attitude. And it can either be one of complaining and bellyaching, or it can be one of thanksgiving. And I need this too. Because it's easy. It's easy to go the other direction. God's called us to be the salt of the earth right now, right here. And the only way we can be is, first of all, accept who we are, where we are, right now. And once you get there, then you can actually be what He wants you to be. Then you have a foundation to build on to start applying loving God with all your heart. You know, how do you love God with all your heart when you're bellyaching all the time about what He's done for you? How do you love God with all your heart when you can't stand the situation you're in? How do you love God with all your heart? Every time something goes wrong, you gripe at Him. You don't. We can be as religious. We can dress properly. We can dress decently. We can cover ourselves. We can put all the religious laws in order. We can have one man, one wife, one family, perfect little order. We can not go to war. We can love our enemies. But if we don't love God with all our heart and our neighbor as ourself, we've missed it all. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? That's what the commandments are all about. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to take his wife. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. That's all it is. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love God, exalt yourself, and be religious. He didn't come to make religion. He came to make men and women. And the church is a group of people who are striving to be a man after God's own heart. And they can come together and have friendship and fellowship, kinship with one another. That's what the church is. Just a group of people who want to love God. Verse 2, chapter 3, it says, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Here's a list. People say, "Oh, it's all God. God's grace is just, that's why I'm saved, because God's grace, and He just does it all. I don't have any control at all what goes on in my life." We each have control of the decisions that we make. We make a choice ourselves. God gives us a list of things not to be like. Why is that? So we'll just magically be that because we believe Jesus died for us? No, He gives us lists. He gives us instructions. He gives us directions so we can examine those things and say, "I don't want to be like that. I'm going to change. I'm going to be more like God." And yet, we see this list and the last verses, or verse 5, it says, "Holding a form of godliness, although they've denied the power." People having the outward shell of godliness, but then this is what they really are. This is what they really are. This is the last days. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. In Jude. Let's turn to Jude. I just shared before how I just really appreciate these little books. These little Peter and Jude and John and James. men who actually walked with our Lord. Like we sang about the song. These men walked with Him. They ate with Him. They traveled with Him. They just sat down together. John just laid on his breast. They were close together. I love reading them. These were men who actually were there with Jesus. They were there with our Lord. This is what they're teaching us, what religion is about. It's about learning to be like Him. And they passed that on. And they wrote it down so that we could have it. What a blessing. Verse 5, Jude. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. You know, there's a lot of people who say, I got saved. I grew up in church. People would stand up and testify and say, yeah, I got saved back in revival 40 years ago. Like that was what was important. Getting saved. But the Bible tells us about people who were saved. They got saved. Saved is delivered from something. It's not going to heaven. Being saved is being delivered from something. Being delivered from the powers of Satan. Being delivered from the going to hell. Being delivered from those things. Being saved from it. But there was a lot of people that were saved that after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. We were talking a few minutes ago about how many people were saved in Sodom. There was 4 made it out of Sodom. And one of them turned back. We talked about Noah. How there was 8 saved out of there. They were delivered from the judgment. Does that mean they just went to heaven? I don't know. If they didn't believe, they didn't. The land of Egypt. These people were in bondage. Slaves in Egypt, being terribly treated. And they cried out to God. They were completely helpless, bound by the picture of Satan. They were bound. They were slaves, helpless. They couldn't do a thing about it. They cried out to God, and what did God do? He saved them. Just out of His pure kindness and pure mercy, He saved them. Brought up Moses, and Moses led them out of the wilderness, out into the wilderness. What did they do after they got saved? Boy, I'm thirsty. Started griping. I wish we could go back to Egypt. God gave them water. Then they got hungry and they started complaining. Oh, I wish, boy, they had good onions and leeks and garlic there back there in Egypt. I wish we could go back. They were saved out of Egypt, but they wanted to go back. How many of them made it out of the wilderness after they were saved? 2 of them made it out. They were all saved. They were all delivered from Satan. They were all delivered from His power. They were all tasted God's goodness and His mercy over and over again. But 2 of them had faith and believed. Two of them had faith. Boys gave an example of the lepers. 10 lepers. Filthy leprosy. Dirty. They'd cry out unclean. Everybody would just part the way. They could walk down the middle of the street and the people would just run away from them. They didn't want to be around them. They're nasty. It's sickening. And I don't want to get it. They avoided them. Their lives were miserable. Can you imagine living in town? And when you walk down the street, unclean, unclean. You go into Walmart, unclean, unclean. And it would look like just people scattering everywhere, running away from you. Panic. You wouldn't feel very nice about yourself, would you? A horrible situation. Smelling your body just sores and just smell. It's terrible. And one day, 10 of them were together. And they met a man. And he wasn't afraid of them. He went up to them. And he healed them of this filthy disease. Healed them. They actually got to meet Jesus face to face. They had an encounter with Christ. They all went off on their way, rejoicing, praising God. Probably went and started a praise and worship service somewhere, telling about how they met Jesus and how Jesus healed them. And whoopee, we're free. And then one of them, wait a minute. It's not just about me being healed. And he went back and he gave thanks. Jesus said, where are the others? Well, they went off to be religious. Is there only one of you that came back to give thanks? Is there only even one of you that came back? They were all saved. Didn't they all meet Jesus? Weren't they all healed? They tasted God's power? All of them. They met him. He might have touched every one of them. He saved them from this wretched disease. But then he said, where are the rest of them? Only one of them turned back. He subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. God is so good and so merciful, so kind, so loving. But if you don't change, He can't help you. If you don't change, all of His goodness and all of His mercy are wasted. Because you can change. You can. Because of what Jesus did. He's given you the power. All power in heaven and earth. For you to be like Him. To be kind. To be merciful. To obey Him. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love God. To be thankful. Be the opposite of all these things that are happening in the last days. Be respectful. Be obedient to parents. Go back there. 2 Timothy. Lovers of self. You could love others more than yourself. Lovers of money. Who cares about the filthy stuff? Just a piece of paper. That people are deceived into thinking that it's valuable. To trade a piece of paper for something. It's nothing. Yet, men love it. Like I said last week, on the judgment day, when you stand before God, I don't care how many millions of dollars you think you've had. When you stand before God, you're a pauper. It don't matter how much land you own, how much anything you own, how powerful you were in this earth. When you stand naked before God, none of that is there. It's all gone. You're just a little man. Boastful. Arrogant. Revilers. Disobedient to parents. The opposite of all of these. Ungrateful. Unholy. You know, a lot of times we have come out of churches that are just completely lax. And you just wish someone would care. You just wish someone would think it was important that we ought to obey the Lord. And what happens to most of us is we come out of churches that are really lax. And then we find a church that's really strict, and we think that's it. Because this was lax, now this is strict, that must be it. But then we soon become so disappointed. Because it isn't a matter of just laxness or strictness that makes us holy. It's being like Jesus that makes us holy. Being like Jesus that makes us holy. It's yielding our will to Him, obeying Him, loving God with all our heart, loving our neighbor as ourselves that make us holy. He didn't come to make religion. He came to make men. Holy men. That love Him. Unloving. Loving. Irreconcilable. Reconcilable. He came to bring together, not draw lines and separate. Malicious gossips without self-control. Brutal haters of good. That's all around us. That stuff is all around us. Treacherous. People you can't trust. Jesus, one place I read this morning, Jesus said, those who stood with Him. He talks about those who stood with Him. You know, all around the world, that whenever Jesus was here, there was this murmuring about this man all over. But there were some that just stood with Him. They just stood with Him. Reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Be the opposite of all of these. Just look at this list and see how ugly it is. And work on yourselves. Be different. Religion is one of the ugliest things in the world. It's one of the ugliest things in the world. But being like Christ is one of the most beautiful things. And like I said a while ago, we can be saying the same words. One of them is getting uglier and uglier and uglier. And one of them can be more like Jesus. Saying the same words, using the same book, we can choose a direction, a different direction. Jesus came to make us men. You know, today, it's amazing how things have changed just in the last few years in society. I mean, today, people don't know whether they're men or whether they're women. They can't tell whether God made them a man or a woman. They're all confused inside. Everything's all mixed up. They don't know whether they like boys or they like girls. They don't know. They're confused because they can't tell a difference. God made men and He made women. Man and a woman. And He put distinctions between them. All of this that's happening today, you know where all this, how it bred, how the fuel that fueled this? Is a few years ago, a bunch of women decided that they wanted to be equal with men. That they were equal. We're the same. We're all the same. We're equal. And a bunch of sissies listened to them. That's what happened. And now men and women are equal. Well, you start telling people that, pretty soon, guess what? They begin to believe it. I'm just like a man. I'm in a woman's body. And so the next generation, they're all confused. And it just goes on and on and on and on. Now everybody's confused. They don't even... God made man. That's why we wear a beard. Because He made a distinction between a man and a woman. The woman dresses different. That's why the Bible teaches about the covering. It's because if we love God with all our heart, we're going to want to be like He created us. A man. Whenever men are men and women are women, queers or homosexuals are few. They're not confused. There's not that confusion. That confusion comes is when we begin to mix it all up. Make it all the same. If we love God, part of that is just being what He created us to be. A human being that loves Him and loves his neighbor as himself. Just really pretty simple. And someone that's actually striving to do that, they're striving to be with someone else that wants to be like that too. That they can encourage one another to be the man, be the woman that God made you to be. Be the salt. Be the light. The salt and the light is pretty few today. And the few that are trying to be are fighting with each other. That's not what God wants. Help us, Lord, help us just to be that salt and that light, to be that man, to be that woman. Father, we come before You and we thank You again for Your goodness and mercy. Help us, Lord, to love You with all our hearts. Fill us with Your Spirit again, Lord, the Spirit of Jesus, that we would be what You want us to be. Help us see in Your Word not how great we are, but how we can conform to Your image. Help us, Lord, to take Your Word and choose the path that's like Jesus. Not just become religious. Not just head down that ugly path, Father. But to be holy and godly and Christ-like. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand up for Jesus. Rich and God brings us.